It's always lovely to be back here. I mean, Melville feels like a home away from home. And it's always great to catch up with familiar faces and some new ones too. Well, today I'm going to read from James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26. So turn with me to page 855 in the Pew Bibles and we'll begin. James chapter 2, verse 14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person. Do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith was made complete by what he did. And a scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab, the prostitute, considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As a body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Let me say that last line again. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. This is a controversial statement. I mean, is it a contradiction? Because in Romans chapter 3, verse 28, when the apostle Paul says, for we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law, surely Paul was saying that no works can save us, but only faith in Christ does. And on a hazy spring evening 4 years ago, when I confessed that Jesus is Lord, I thought that I was saved, that I was justified by faith in Jesus. So what is going on? I mean, why is James saying that faith without works is dead? Is there a difference to what Paul is saying? Well, before we answer this, let's have a look back to when James preached this message to his congregation about 2,000 years ago. James was the half-brother of Jesus, and he grew up with him. Originally, James was a huge skeptic of the claims that Jesus was making. I mean, you know, if your brother suddenly comes out saying, I am the Son of God, you're going to question him. And James certainly did. When Jesus was making these claims, he was performing many miracles, and people started to gather around Jesus, and they were even becoming followers of his. But the reaction of the family says it all. Mark 3 verse 21 says that the family thought Jesus was going out of his mind. And John 7 verse 5 says that the brothers did not believe in him. So James and the family thought that Jesus was crazy. However, later on there was a huge turnaround. And in Acts 1 verse 14, it says that Jesus' mother and brothers were praying along with the apostles. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the resurrected Jesus appeared to James himself. So James changed his mind and his heart from rejecting Jesus, his own brother, to accepting him and acknowledging him as the Messiah. James finally realized that his brother Jesus had given his life for him. And James's heart changed so much that he became a leading pastor of the early Jerusalem church, which you can see in Acts 15 and Galatians chapter 2. This eventually led to James being killed for his faith in Jesus. Josephus, a first century Jewish historian, he reported that James was stoned to death by the Jewish authorities around AD 62, after he refused to deny Jesus as Lord. So his credentials are there to see. James, he grew up alongside Jesus. He gave his heart to following Jesus. He pastored a church, and he was killed for his faith in Jesus. And then there is the Apostle Paul. And we all know about his credentials as a Christian. You know, he was formerly a persecutor of Christians. And when he was a young man, he saw the stoning of Stephen, who was a man chosen by the apostles to spread the good news of the risen Christ. But as Paul was traveling to Damascus with the intention of arresting Christians, he had a dramatic encounter. He met the resurrected Jesus and gave his heart to Christ there and then. He no longer persecuted the followers of Christ, he joined them. And Paul followed this by preaching the good news of Jesus to Jew and Gentile alike. And just like James, he was also killed for his faith in Jesus. So Paul and James, they had very similar paths. Neither believed in Jesus at first, but both came to a faith in Christ. They then both preached the good news of Jesus, and they both died for him. So when Paul made a statement in Romans 3:28, "For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law," he was addressing the mistaken idea that salvation is earned by human merit, by works. Paul states further in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, that the Christian has been saved through faith as a gift by God and not by any works. So according to Paul, the Christian is saved by the grace of God and not by any works themselves. So why then is James saying that faith without works is dead? I mean, what exactly is he talking about here? If Paul is saying that no works can save a Christian, why is James saying it is necessary to perform good works? Is James contradicting Paul's point, or is he supporting it? Well, let's take a deeper look at the scriptures and see the point that James is making. James is actually proposing that there are three kinds of faith. And the example that James gives in verse 15 is the first of those faith. It is a dead faith. Let's have a look at verses 14 to 17. "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." So, a poor believer comes into a fellowship without proper clothes and in dire need of food. How then does a person who claims they have faith react? They say, "Go in peace, keep warm and well fed." They are basically saying, "I don't want to help you. Go somewhere else for help." I mean, this is awful for the poor believer. I mean, the world has cast them off. They have no food, no clothes, and nowhere else to turn to. And to top it off, this so-called Christian has told him to go somewhere else too. I mean, if the person professing to be a believer doesn't even look after his own fellow in Christ, then how can they expect non-believers to come to Christ as well? And this reminds me of the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. Now, there's a priest and a Levite, and they knew the scriptures. But neither of them paused to assist a dying man at the side of the road. They both would defend their faith with words, but neither demonstrated their faith in loving action. Now, I'm pretty sure that if someone comes in here asking for food, you're not going to say, no, you can't have that biscuit. But should we be going around just randomly doing good deeds then? I don't think that's what James is getting at. I think James is saying that every human has needs, whether it's food or a shoulder to cry on or friends. And as believers in Christ, we have a duty to help meet the needs of people around us with love, no matter who they might be and what the needs are. It says in Galatians 6 verse 10, let us do good unto all men, especially those who are of the faith. To help a person in need is an expression of love, and faith works by love. And when I first came into this church 3 years ago, I was very lonely. And I was very homesick after coming over here from the UK. I was missing my family very much and I had no friends. And even though I was so sure that God had called me over here, I was on the verge of giving up. And, you know, I had a lot of doubts about myself. But I remember that day so well. As I parked outside, a young lady called Senga came up to the car beside me and we said hello. And she introduced me to everyone in the church. And a few of us even went to lunch after. It was awesome. And a few weeks later, I was invited to a Christmas meal by the Smith family. And they even gave me presents. Since that day, I've grown really fond of this church. And I've got friends here who I now consider family. At the time, it was the spiritual hug that I needed, which kept me going on this journey here. And I really felt the love of you guys, and I'm ever so grateful. My need was filled that day. So what then is James saying here about dead faith? He's talking about those who just have a knowledge of God's word. They know the doctrine of salvation, but never truly submitted themselves to God because they do not act like Jesus. They do not follow the example that Christ has set. I mean, they may know the right words and, you know, memorize some verses, but if their words are not backed with their actions, with love, their faith is dead. And the people in verse 16 who claimed they have faith, they didn't even give the desperate person a biscuit. Their faith wasn't a true faith at all. They are the ones who talk the talk, but do not walk the walk. Talk is cheap without action. And they were never spiritually reborn. Matthew 7 verse 21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the ones who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. These people with a dead faith will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, James says in verse 17, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. This brings me to the next faith that James is proposing. Let's have a look at verse 19. You believe there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Now, this is really interesting. Here, James is proposing a second type of faith, a demonic faith. He says that even the demons have faith. I mean, to me, this comes as a bit of a shock. Demons believe in the existence of God. And they say, they believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I mean, in Mark 3, verse 11, it says, whenever the impure spirits saw Jesus, they fell down before him and cried out, you are the Son of God. James said that the demons shudder. So not only did they know who Jesus was, but they recognized the power of Jesus as their judge, and they were terrified of him. And in Mark chapter 5, where Jesus met a man possessed by a whole legion of demons, the demons begged Jesus to allow them to go into a herd of pigs and drown. They feared his power so much that they would rather die than to face his judgment. The demons chose death because they didn't want to change and be under the authority of God. So it's not enough to believe and fear God. There are many people who are enlightened in their minds and stirred in their hearts, and there are plenty out there who go to church because they are afraid of God's judgment. These people appear to be Christians and say the right things and fear the power of the Lord. But if they don't want to change, then they are still lost. True faith involves more than just faith and fear. It involves a changed life. And look what James says in verse 18. He says, "Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds." So being a Christian involves trusting Jesus and living for Jesus. We receive the life and then invest in the life. That means we put our lives into loving action. Faith without action is faith that doesn't grow. If we are not active with the life that we have been given in Christ, and we don't invest our lives in Christ, our faith is stagnated and it doesn't grow. So if we have the knowledge that Jesus has the power to save us and fear God's judgment, but don't actually act on our faith, then we have a faith that doesn't grow. It is a faith like the demons. It is a fearful faith and not a genuine faith in Jesus Christ. And this brings me to the third and final faith that James presents. It is the true faith. It is the dynamic faith. James uses Abraham and Rahab from the Old Testament as examples of people of the true faith. These two people are very different. Abraham, you know, he was a Jew. He was a godly man. And as it says in verse 23, a friend of God. Rahab, however, she was a Gentile. She was a sinful woman, a harlot, a prostitute. She was supposed to be an enemy of God. But both of these people exercised a true faith in God. Look at Abraham. God called him from his hometown of Ur to go to Canaan. And he traveled about the same distance as Adelaide to Sydney on foot. God made out of him the great nation of Israel. And it's through Israel that God would bring the Savior Jesus into the world. And in Genesis chapter 15, God showed Abraham the stars, promising him that he would have as many offspring as the stars. Abraham believed in the Lord, and God placed righteousness in him. Now, Abraham did not work for it. He received this promise as a free gift from God. Abraham was declared righteous by faith. He was justified by faith. And justification is the act of God where he declares the believing sinner righteous on the basis on Christ's finished work on the cross. It is not a process on behalf of the sinner. It is an act and something God does for the sinner when he trusts in Christ. It's a once-for-all event, and it never changes. So how can we tell if we have been justified in faith? The example of Abraham answers this important question. This justified person has a changed life and obeys God's will. His faith is demonstrated by his works. Abraham had faith in God that there is a plan, even if it seemed crazy at first, and he followed what God wanted of him. Look at the events that James mentioned of Isaac on the altar. Abraham was not saved by God's difficult command to slay his son. He was not saved by a faith plus works. His obedience already proved that he was saved, but Abraham was saved by a faith that works. Abraham was justified before God and his righteousness declared by God, but his faith in God was demonstrated by his willingness to carry out God's plan. Now, let's look to the example of Rahab, the prostitute. In the book of Joshua, Israel was about to invade the promised land and take the city of Jericho. Joshua had sent spies into the city and they met Rahab. Rahab protected them from the city's officials. She affirmed that she believed what God had said, that he would destroy Jericho. So when the spies departed to return to Joshua, they promised to save her and her family when the city was taken. And they did. Rahab had heard about the Israelites' exodus from Egypt, and they had destroyed the Amorites on their way to Jericho. It says in Joshua 2 verse 11 that when she heard of these things, her heart melted in fear, and she confessed that the Israelites' God is the God of heaven and on earth. And based on such little information, her faith is quite remarkable. But it wasn't just a faith of fear. Rahab proved her faith was real by her actions. She had heard the word and knew that her city was condemned. The truth affected her and her heart melted. She responded with her mind, her emotions, but also her will. She did something about it. Rahab risked her own life to protect the Jewish spies, but also risked her own life by sharing the good news of deliverance with her family. Rahab married into Israel and became an ancestor of our Lord, and she was one of the first soul winners in the Bible. She really exercised dynamic faith. Her mind knew the truth, her heart was stirred by the truth, and her will acted on the truth. So through Abraham and Rahab, Jesus shows us that authentic trust in Jesus Christ results in good works. Now, unlike Rahab, who just heard about the Israelites, today we have the full revelation of God through his word and his son Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit to convict us and teach us the word. We are saved by our faith in Jesus Christ as revealed by his word. We are spiritually reborn through God's word. Romans 10 verse 17 says that faith comes by hearing the word of God. The mind understands the truth of God's word. The heart desires the truth of God's word. But it is the will that acts on the truth of God's word. And the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 2 verse 10 that we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So dynamic faith is not intellectual contemplation or emotional dread. It is faith that leads to obedience. And obedience should not be an isolated event. It should continue through the whole life of the Christian. True faith leads to loving actions. So where there is dynamic faith, you'll always find good works. Dynamic faith obeys God and proves itself in life and loving actions. Titus 3 verse 8 states that those who believe in God are careful to maintain God's works. Hebrews 11 is full of examples of people of true faith. They were people of action. God spoke and they obeyed. I mean, in there, you've got women who, you know, gave birth in their old age. There were people tortured and martyred. There were others who left their homes to go to another country. These were people who obeyed God in spite of the consequences. And dynamic faith is based on God's word, and it involves the whole person. It involves the person's will. It is a faith that is real. It is a faith that has power. It is a faith that results in a changed life. So to recap, James has proposed three different types of faith, the three D's of faith. The first is the dead faith. The person of the dead faith has a knowledge of the gospel, claims to have faith, but doesn't do anything with it. The second faith is the demonic faith. This person has a knowledge of the gospel, claims to have faith, fears the power of God, but doesn't do anything about it. And the third and final faith is the dynamic faith. This person has the knowledge of the gospel, fears the Lord, but also does something about it. They have a life that is changed. They have a faith of loving action. True faith in Christ brings the dead to life. And where there is life, there must be growth. Whoever has the Son of God has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. So true saving faith can never be by itself. Faith always brings life, and life produces good actions. So when James says faith without deeds is dead, he is not endorsing that works saves a person. James is actually stating that good works is a result of someone who trusts in Jesus. And after they trust in Jesus, they are spiritually born. They follow the example of Jesus. They obey God. Satan is a great deceiver, and one of his devices is imitation. If he can convince a person that a dead faith or a demonic faith is the true faith, then he has that person in his power. Each professing Christian must examine their own hearts to make sure that they do not have a dead or demonic faith, but a dynamic faith. We must examine ourselves to see if we have a faith like Abraham or Rahab, to see if we're not just holding the Bible in our hands, but also practicing the doctrines daily. We need to see if we have a true dynamic faith. Psalm 139, verses 23 to 24 says this: "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So we should ask ourselves this: do we understand the gospel, that Jesus Christ died for our sins and arose again? Have we trusted in Jesus for our salvation? And has there been a change in our lives that leads us to seek growth in the Lord and tell others about Jesus? So, honestly examine your faith. What kind is it? Is it a dead faith, a demonic faith, or is it the dynamic faith? Is it the true faith in Christ? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these challenging words today. Teach us to have a true dynamic faith in you, one where we know your word, we are fearful of you, and we also display loving action to others, just like your Son Jesus Christ. In your Son's glorious name, amen.